This is March the 13th, and I'm going to read a section from the Old Testament reading from Genesis chapter 15, starting at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me, since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, You have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. Then the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. And then he said to him, So shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Lord, you called Abraham. You have called us. Teach us. I want us to look at Abraham's life and compare it to ours. There's nothing special about Abraham. The lessons in his life are very applicable to us. We tend to want to put these Old Testament heroes, patriarchs, on pedestals and somehow think that they're not like us, that they're other. They are not. They are exactly like us. First of all, Abraham and every Christian are all saved by grace. God's undeserved favour. God just sovereignly picked Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham was an idolater. He worshipped other gods. And he had a hard time stopping worshipping them. And so do we. You see, look at Abraham and us. We both worship safety, security, family. We both worry despite God's promises to look after us. And then despite what God had promised Abraham, he kept trying to fix it and jumpstart it and make it happen. When he felt it was taking too long and somehow it wasn't working. So do we. Abraham was faithless. So are we. We both want fallback positions. We all want to say, well, if God doesn't come through, I can always do this. God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. You read this in Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abraham, Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. See, notice the word says in Genesis 12, the Lord had said. You see, Abraham half obeyed. He took Dad. He took Lot with him. They got as far as Haran. Haran is the last green place in the wilderness before the long trek into Canaan. And when they got to Haran, they stopped. You read that they settled. That indicates a permanent residency. It wasn't then until his father Terah died that Abraham moved on. See, all that Abraham did and felt and suffered and worried about is just as problematical for us. Jesus responded in a very offhand way, you might think, to people that came up to him to want to follow him. He says birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He knew this person wanted stability. Somebody says, well, let me go and bury my father and then I'll come follow you. That doesn't mean that the father is dead, but let me go and make preparation for his coming death and put my family affairs in order. And Jesus says, no, let the dead bury their dead. Let the spiritual dead bury the spiritual dead. You need to put me first. The rich young ruler, well, of course, we all know about him. He couldn't forgo financial security. And Jesus says, nobody who does not hate his father and mother and wife and daughter and son can be my disciple. We want to put the wishes of God behind the wishes of our family, whereas they have to be preeminent. Abraham was an idolater. So are we. God promised Abraham a son, but he's got no children. This is where we find ourselves in the Old Testament reading for today. And Abraham's getting on. So he tries to fix God's will, tries to give him a helping hand, as it were, and so planned to make his steward Eliezer of Damascus his heir. That's how it worked out back then. But God says, no, no, I have promised and I will deliver. Well, the years passed. So Abraham thinks, well, need to fix this again. Has a child through Sarah's servant, Hagar. God says, no, Abraham, the child will be yours and Sarah. When commenting on this whole business, I once heard Father Terry Fulham say that this is why God doesn't tell us his will at the very beginning. We tried it with Abraham, and what a mess that turned out to be. Eventually, of course, Abraham and Sarah had a son. Well, he was 100 and she was 90-odd. I want you to notice throughout the life of Abraham, God kept working with and in Abraham. He doesn't throw him away. He works in Abraham, growing and deepening his faith and his trust. One of my daughters-in-law has sent me some questions from Storyworth, which asks you to fill out these questions. You know, who was your favorite team? What was happening? What was this about? Where'd you go to school and why? How did you meet? And then they'll take all the answers you send back to them and put them into a book that other members of the family can read. It's sort of like a visual snapshot in writing. And one of the questions is, if you could live your life again, what would you change? Well, I have lots of regrets. I don't think there's anybody that doesn't have lots of regrets. But my greatest regret is the number of times that I wasted God's time in my life. Times when I held back. Times when I delayed out of fear of what I might lose. Times when I delayed because of sheer self-indulgence or just laziness. God forgive me. The God who was faithful to Abraham is the same God who is faithful to us. He will see his will done in our lives. Those who come to him in faith, he will never reject. This is his promise. Think with me on today's psalm as we think of our lives in relationship to God. This is a wonderful psalm, Psalm 27, starting at verse 7. Hear my voice when I call, O Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence. I am still confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart. And wait for the Lord. We are to keep our eyes on Jesus as best as we ever can. I'm sure that you have heard what Joshua said to the people of Israel. You've read it. At the end of the book of Joshua, he knows he's dying. They've come into the promised land. They're in the process of possessing it. And this is what Joshua says. He talks about Abraham. Joshua said to all the people, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshipped other gods. But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants. I gave him Isaac, and to Isaac I gave Jacob and Esau. I assigned the hill country of Seir to Esau, but Jacob and his sons went down to Egypt. Then I sent Moses and Aaron, and I afflicted the Egyptians by what I did there, and I brought you out. And then he says to them, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. It is no accident that the Lord Jesus tells us to take up our cross and deny ourselves daily, because every day things clamour to control us and vie for our attention and for the love of our heart. God has brought us out of Egypt by forgiving our sins. He has brought us out of the slavery to sin upon the cross. What will we do? How will we respond? Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Is that a desire of your heart? Will you put aside the things that have kept God's will from being fulfilled within you? Will you throw them away? Will you serve the Lord? But as for me and my household, says Joshua, we will serve the Lord. Shall this be said of you and I? Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, O Lord, in heaven and in my life. Amen.